കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരത ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ നീ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം നാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹ്യനോ വ്യഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകൊണിദാതൃദാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാമുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവേ മമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ട യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So before we begin the next 10 days, 5 days this week and 5 days next week, Krishna has given very kindly an opportunity to discuss the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. If it is not Krishna's mercy, it wouldn't happen. That's the first thing. And that we have to always say this. Reason is that, as I mentioned many times before, that only when Krishna sanctions something, it would happen. Especially in relationship with Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. When Krishna sanctions, it will happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. And particularly once again in this life, to take to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream of Bhagavatam, and also to discuss about Krishna's appearance and his childhood. The most famous pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that opportunity Krishna has given us. So first of all, we have to show that gratitude to Krishna for giving us that opportunity to discuss about it from the 10th canto, number one. Number two, all this has happened because of one devotee. That devotee pleased Krishna and Krishna made him responsible for all of us being here today. That is Prabhupada. So without Krishna's mercy and without Prabhupada's mercy, it is not possible even to understand, because Krishna's energy flows through different personalities in different ways. And Krishna has given this understanding in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when a devotee puts any effort to propagate Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's philosophy, spiritual life particularly, Krishna is pleased with that effort. And Krishna gives all the opportunity and facility to understand that great philosophy Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So both Krishna's mercy and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that is what is keeping Krishna consciousness going in this life. And so we have to be grateful for that kindness, what they have shown on us, before we go into Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, most of you have read Bhagavatam many times, heard Bhagavatam, and 9 cantos, the first 9 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have seen. As soon as you say Srimad Bhagavatam, it creates a feeling inside, because Bhagavatam is the science of bhakti. Bhagavatam is the science of bhakti. And Bhagavatam itself is bhakti. And also it says, only through bhakti one can experience Krishna. Only through bhakti one can experience Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see some verses very straight mentioning this. Bhaktiya mam abhijanadi yavan yasyasmi tatvada tato mam tatvado jnata vishade tadanandaram. That is in the 18th chapter. In the 55th verse in the 18th chapter, Krishna is saying, Bhaktiya mam abhijanadi yavan yasyasmi tatvada tato mam tatvado jnata vishade tadanandaram. That verse is particularly important because it's at the end of Bhagavad Gita. And what Krishna is saying there is that only through bhakti one can understand Krishna. Only through bhakti one can understand Krishna. One can understand the Supreme, I'll read the translation here, personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. You can enter into the kingdom of God. So, Bhaktiyama Abhijanadi, Krishna is saying, Bhaktiyama, only through bhakti, yavan yaschasmi tatvada. One who understands Krishna tatvada. Tatvada means, we discussed yesterday also, tatvam. The tatvam of Krishna. What is Krishna? That tatvada. That is tatvada. Understanding Krishna through tatvam. Yavan yashasmi tatvada. After knowing Krishna in tattvam, tadomam tatvado jnatva, after knowing that, one can enter into Krishna. Vishade tadanandaram. He can enter into Krishna. So this is what Krishna is saying here. So even in Bhagavad Gita, you will notice there that Krishna talks about that the only way to realize Krishna is through bhakti. It begins with bhakti. Krishna says, through bhakti you can know me. Who I am, how big I am, who am I, what is my identity, what is my form, or who I am. All these things in tattvam, Krishna says, actually you will come to know about me through bhakti. Tatviyam. Tatviyam means through tattvam. That means, what does it mean actually, tattvam? Tattvam means, Krishna is not something to be appreciated by mind and the intelligence. Krishna is to be experienced by us. That experience is, what is that tattvam? Experiencing Krishna, that is tattvam. So tattvika means, in several places in the Bhagavad Gita also you will see, tattvam, tattvam Krishna is talking about. That tattvam is experiencing Krishna. So what will happen? Krishna says, after knowing me in tattvam, vishade tadanandaram, you can enter into Krishna. What does that entering into means? That means, after realizing what is Krishna, we will realize that the soul inside us is made of the same substance what Krishna is made of. It's not different than Krishna. So in other words, the soul, the living entity, when he realizes its pure form, what he is, he'll come to know that he is not different in quality, in any way different from Krishna. In other words, the soul has the Sachidanandam, Satta Chitta Anandam, eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. That is the very nature of the soul. Krishna's nature is the same, Satta Chitta Anandam. Krishna is called Sachidananda Vigraha. Sachidananda, isn't it? Ishara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. That Sachidanandam is what we are also. So when we free ourselves from these effects of the three modes of material nature, and when we are released from that, we will also realize it. We are also that same Sachidanandam. We are not different than the what Krishna is made of. And it is at that time, entering into Krishna means that. Entering it means that to realizing that the same features exist in us, in the living entity also, Satya Chitta Anandam, that is our identity. So that is what Krishna is saying there. Then we will enter into that complete experience of Krishna. Complete experience of Krishna. Another verses in the Bhagavad Gita again. Bhaktyatun anyaya shakya aham evam vidho Arjuna nyadum drishtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parandava. Again Krishna says this at the end of the 11th chapter. Universal form. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, only through bhakti, ananya bhakti, Krishna says, bhaktyatun anyaya shakya aham evam vidho Arjuna, you can know me who I am. Yadum drishtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parandava. After knowing me and seeing me and realizing me in tattvam, you can enter into me. Krishna says again in the 11th chapter. So this is what it is. Then knowing Krishna in tattvam and to experience Krishna, it is possible through bhakti. Krishna says it is possible to experience that through bhakti. That is the important thing. While beginning Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to remember these things. Why we are discussing 10th canto? Why we are discussing this 10th canto? Now, going back into the Bhagavad Gita again. If you remember, we have not discussed this 15th chapter yet of the Bhagavad Gita. That 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is referred to as this is the introduction to the 10th canto. Introduction to the 10th canto. Puravidhya, it is called. That the 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is called Purushottama Yoga. Isn't it? Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga of the Supreme Person. That is what it is. There, Krishna says like this. This word Purusha is only applied to Krishna. The word Purusha only applies to Krishna. The reason why we say human society also we call Purusha because the word, our real identity is like Krishna. Like Krishna, we also have a similar nature. We also have a similar nature. Our nature, identity is similar to Krishna. So, knowing Purusha means to knowing Krishna. Knowing Purusha means knowing Krishna. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there in the 8th chapter, there is a verse which talks about that. In the 8th chapter, Krishna says that Purushasya Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastvananyaya. Again, Krishna is stressing this point. Purushasya Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastvananyaya Yasyan Dakstani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. Purushasya Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastvananyaya Yasyan Dakstani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading and everything is situated within him. Yasyandastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam. Krishna is saying, although he is all-pervading and everything is situated within him. So these things we have to keep in mind when we are discussing this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So who is Purushottama, that supreme person? That is the question. What we know about us, about ourselves, is we are Jiva, isn't it? We are Jiva. That same thing Krishna has spoken in two different ways, as though there are two. What are those two? One, Krishna has spoken of the soul as Jiva, and the other one, Krishna has spoken as Antaryami inside, isn't it? The same substance, Krishna has spoken in two different forms. One is Jiva and the other one is Antaryami. Antaryami means what we call a super soul. One is the soul and the other one is a super soul. Krishna has spoken in two different forms. So, what is Jiva? Jiva is that part of the soul which is covered by the mind, intelligence, and false ego. All that mixed up with one part of that soul. That is Jiva. The other part of the soul, which is the witness to everything, is Krishna. This is also Krishna. But this part of that soul, which is covered up in the mind, intelligence, ego, everything, that is Jiva. And the other one, which is totally independent, who is witnessing all our activities, is the Antaryami or the super soul, or Krishna calls it as the Purushottama. And the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, in that 15th chapter, Krishna has used two different words for that. What is that? That Jiva which is covered in the ignorance, false ego, intelligence, mind, everything, that is called Kshara-Purusha. And the other one, which is independent, totally transcendental to everything, is called Akshara-Purusha. That is the two words used in that 15th chapter. Kshara-Purusha and Akshara-Purusha, which is nothing but Jiva and Paramatma. Jiva and Paramatma. So different words are used. In substance, it is one and the same thing. So, Kshara-Purushottama, Akshara-Purushottama, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this 10th canto, we are going to talk about Krishna's pastimes. Isn't it? Bhagavan's Leela, Krishna's Leelas. So, prior to talking these pastimes in the 10th canto, in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see that Sukadeva Goswami spoke Upanishads there. In the 10th canto, it's full of Upanishads knowledge. You will see there many verses are from Ishopanishad in the 8th canto. And Upanishads knowledge is flowing through Brahma's prayers there, Shiva's prayers there, everything. In the 8th canto, if you closely observe the prayers, you will see they are all the Upanishads knowledge brought inside. So, in the 8th canto, Upanishads were glorified. In the 9th canto, is full of the history of the devotees. Isn't it? 9th canto is full of history of the devotees. And those devotees, they were not ordinary people. They were all powerful kings and emperors in this world, who have ruled the planet according to the Surya Vamsham and Soma Vamsham, Solar Dynasty and the Lunar Dynasty. So, 8th canto, Upanishads knowledge, Ninth canto is the history of the devotees, and tenth canto is history of Krishna's history. That is the tenth canto. So, charam means jiva, and jiva means what? False ego. Isn't it? Jiva means false ego. That is nashwaram. That means it is meant to get destroyed. It will be destroyed one day. It will get destroyed. And another aspect of that is this false ego, not only it will get destroyed one day, other side of it is that it continuously changes its form. False ego always changes its form in the whole lifetime. How? Depending on anger, lust, greed, and desires, love, hate, attachment, all of these things is mixed up inside, and that is why it's called Sharapurusha. And in other words, it's called Jiva. Jiva, all what we call as the false ego or individuality, all these things you can say, to referring to the same substance. In the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, calls him as Sharapurusha. Other words, what it means is, it's the same Jiva who is always feeling, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, who has attachment and aversion in this world, and who is nothing but always thinking himself to be independent, and in individuality, it is always present in him. And after passing away that state of Jiva, if you go further deeply inside, you will see what you see there clearly inside is Aksharapurusha Krishna. Aksharapurusha Krishna. Krishna and that Ishvara, what we call as Ishvara sometimes, isn't it, is non-different. In different names it is addressed. Sometimes we call him Ishvara, sometimes we call him Aksharapurusha, sometimes we call him Paramatma or Super Soul. Different names, that's all. Substance is one. Substance, it is the same one. But that Aksharapurusha, he only will be experienced by us when we absorbs in him, when we absorb in him. That means when we use our capacity to separate out the Sharapurusha away from him, only Sharapurusha will be recognized at that point. So Krishna mentions there in that chapter that in due course of time, what will happen when you engage in through that 15th chapter, you will see there, a person, Sharapurusha, the Jiva, who endeavors for spiritual realization, he moves beyond of this false ego, intelligence, mind, body, everything. And without being touched even by the slightest trace of that false ego, and that experience, that Krishna calls it as Purushottama. Another word Krishna uses there. That experience is called Purushottama. If you look into the 15th chapter, you will see a verse referring to that. All this is an introduction to the 10th canto. Because Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, what you see in the Bhagavad Gita, is not what you read there. This Bhagavad Gita is penetrated into all the other literature. Upanishads have come into Bhagavad Gita, and that knowledge has penetrated into Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 10th canto, what you find there, is that is where it's coming from. From the 15th chapter, if you look, the 17th verse, you will see Krishna talks about something very important there. He says that Uttama Purushastanya, Uttama Purushastanya, Paramatme Yuda Akhrida, Yo Logatrayama Vishya, Vibhartavyayami Ishwaraha. Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatme Yuda Akhrida, Yo Logatrayam Avishya, Vibhartavyayami Ishwaram. He says, besides these two, there is a greatest living personality, the Lord Himself, who has entered into these worlds and is maintaining them. Now, there are three now. First is the Jiva, and then there is, that is, Sharapurusha, then there is Aksharapurusha, and then there is Uttamapurusha. So, Uttamapurusha, the realization also is like that. When you advance in spiritual life, first we start with Sharapurusha. As you advance, you start realizing Aksharapurusha. And then when you go beyond Aksharapurusha, that is Uttamapurusha. That is how it happens. The movement from one stage to another. We'll discuss that when we come to 15th chapter later. It's an important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, that 15th chapter. Because that is why the yoga of the Supreme Person, Krishna calls it as the Purushottama Yoga. What is Krishna? That question is clarified there. That, so there Kiriksha says here, Uttama Purushastvanyam Paramatme Yudahrida Yolokatrayam Avishya Vibhartya Vyamishwaram. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Lord Himself, who has entered into these worlds and is maintaining them. We saw before, Krishna has entered into this world as Ishvara and situated it in our heart as Antaryami, Paramatma, and controlling our daily activities, everything what we are doing here. Then we are there also, part of Krishna, isn't it? Kshara-purusha, which is Jiva, full of false ego, and struggling with the mind and intelligence, fighting against the nature, and subjected to all kinds of excitement, emotions, anger, lust, greed, all, everything, whatever, like a garbage can, everything you dump into this Kshara-purusha, the Jiva. So, Jiva is like that. So, Krishna says here that this Jiva will at one stage experience of Paramatma. When an experience of that Paramatma happens on the one stage, when this false ego completely goes away from inside, completely cleaned up inside, in other words, what will happen? That Jiva knows that his existence is not permanent in that state. That state is not permanent. That, in other words, destroying himself, in other words, destroying himself. So at that time you realize only Krishna is there. Krishna is there. That is that state. Ishavasamidam sarvam. Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kinji jagatyam jagat. Tena tektvena bunjida ma grada kasu siddhanam. That Ishavasamidam sarvam is that state when one completely loses that ego from inside and goes away. So all around Krishna says here that there is nothing exists in this creation except Krishna. And we also don't exist, but that experience that only Krishna exists, that is a very higher state of bhakti. That's a very high state of bhakti. So in other words, all time experiencing Krishna is the higher realization. It's a very higher realization. But in the beginning, what happens? I exist, the world exists, and Krishna exists. Jiva, Jagat, and Ishvara. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita all these things mentioned. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, three things. Jiva, world. Jiva means living entity. Jagat, this world, and Ishvara as Krishna exist. And so long as we feel that the world is real, that time, and so long as we think that Krishna is only, at that stage I'm saying, we'll only think that Krishna is in a particular form, stays in the temple. Like we stay at home, Krishna stays in the temple. That understanding, it is in that state that when happens. And so long as we are thinking I am this body, and we will also think that Krishna has got a form in that particular way, he lives that in the temple. So Krishna's appearance in this world to teach us that we are not this body. That is the purpose. For that Krishna has accepted different forms at different times, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you will see while talking to Uddhava, Krishna uses one particular word there. What is that? Svechopata pradak vabhu, he says. Svechopata pradak vabhu means, according to his desire, he will accept a form in this world while coming here. While coming to this world, he can accept a form whichever he likes. According to Svecha, according to his own desire, he can accept a form. Svechopata pradak vapu. Vapu means body. So Krishna accepts a body according to his desire. Whichever body he wants to accept, a form he wants to accept, he will accept that. So there he says, when we are in the bodily concept of life, in order to get us out of this body, Krishna accepts some form and comes in front of us. Because only through body we can relate with Krishna. Only through the body, we are in the bodily concept of life and so absorbed in the body under Maya's control. Not to relate with Krishna, Krishna has to accept one form in front of us and come to us in that way. And the only purpose of all that is to teach us that we are not this body. Rather, we are the soul. So Krishna has to accept different bodies at different times, isn't it? Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam, Balaram, Shriram, all different forms Krishna had to accept to teach us that we are not the body. To teach us we are not the body. In order to show that to us, Krishna has shown us by accepting different bodies at different times. Different bodies at different times. So, what is our real identity? What is our real real nature? Swarupam. What is our Swarupam? What are we made of? In order to teach that lesson to us, that is, we are the same Atmavastu. Atmavastu means we are made of the same material as Krishna. Satachitan Anandam. And therefore, Krishna says here, Krishna takes different forms and comes here. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Krishna also mentions that Dharma Samsthavanarthaya Sambhavami, isn't it? For the purpose of maintaining religious principles, whenever there is Yada Yadahi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata, wherever there is a degradation for religious principles, Dharmam, Krishna says, Glanir Bhavati Abhyudhanam Adharmasya, that in order to remove the religiosity, and Tadalpanam Srajamyaham, Tadalpanam Srajamyaham, he says, Krishna says there, Tadalpanam Srajamyaham, I come in form, in a particular form to this world. So what is this dharma means? Dharmam is another word we have to know properly. Dharma means the process by which to know Krishna, process by which to reach Krishna, or in other words, to realize the truth. The process is called dharmam. The process to realize Krishna is called dharma. Process to realize Krishna is called dharma. So, whenever a devotee is endeavoring to understand Krishna, immediately there is Krishna's appearance there. At that point, there is Krishna's appearance in order to show us the path, in order to show us the path. So while we are living in this body, we want to experience Krishna. We want to experience Krishna. And we want to live in peace. We want to live in peace also. That is the process of Bhagavadam. Srimad Bhagavadam is like that. Srimad Bhagavadam is created in that way. While living in this body, how to experience Krishna? In other words, Bhagavadam refers to it as Bhagavata Dharma. That is what is called Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma, that is what it is called. Bhagavata Dharma. So, in the 7th canto, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlada says here, there, that while you are very, very small, as a small child, you should teach Bhagavatam to them. Bhagavata Dharma. You should teach Bhagavata Dharma to them when somebody is very small. If you remember, Prahlada is instructing his friends. Kaumara acharet prajnaha dharmam bhagavadaniha. Early, it should start very early. You cannot teach Bhagavadam everybody. It is not possible. But Bhagavata dharmam, you can teach everyone. That is the way. Teaching Bhagavadam is a very difficult thing because to get that understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is difficult. It's very, very difficult. So therefore, always it's said that teaching Srimad Bhagavatam is very difficult. But Bhagavata Dharmam, it is possible to teach everybody. Bhagavata Dharmam. Kaumara ajaret prajnaha dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manusham janmam tadapyadhruvam arthadam. That is how Prahlada says about that in the Bhagavatam. So, while being a little boy, in the early days itself, let them practice Bhagavata Dharmam and experience that. So, what is that Bhagavata Dharma means? Bhagavata Dharmam, in simple terms, to explain that is, let the boat stay in the water. Let not the water enter inside the boat. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Boat can stay in the water, but water should not enter inside the boat. Similarly, we have to live in this world, but the world should not enter inside us. This is Bhagavata Dharma, in simple terms. If we develop that understanding of this world, we will escape from here without getting hurt. If you allow the world to get inside and create problems there, then you are in trouble. So Bhagavata Dharma is only saying this one thing. in simple terms, that let the boat stay in the water. As long as it's in the water, it doesn't matter. But if the water gets into the boat, there is trouble. Similarly, in our life here, in this world, Bhagavata Dharma is like that. Let the water, let the world don't get inside. Able to keep the water out. Keep the world outside and able to live in this world still. That is Bhagavata Dharma. A very, very simple way to explain. That's the way. That means no matter what goes on in this world, without getting disturbed on anything or getting hurt by anything, able to execute one's Krishna consciousness uninterrupted, that is Bhagavata Dharma. That's all it is. So Bhagavatam, it is difficult to teach everybody, but Bhagavata Dharma, it is possible to teach everyone. This is Prahlada's opinion. Prahlada is saying this. He says, you stay in this world. Somehow we happen to be here in this world. I don't know how we got in here in the first instance, but we are here today. The answer is that we have to escape from here somehow. And so while living here, not allow the world to get in and create problems inside. Because what does world mean? Three modes of material nature, isn't it? So that is Bhagavata Dharma. While living in this world, executing one's dharma, whatever that may be, and executing his one karma, whatever that is, and still able to continuously remember Krishna. Continuously remember Krishna. Harismaranam. Harismaranam, he says, remembering Krishna all the time. So, so knowing Krishna, who Krishna is, and executing continuously Krishna consciousness, in that way, this is the simple explanation to Bhagavata Dharma. Simple explanation to Bhagavata Dharma. Whichever state we are in this world, doesn't matter. Every one of us are in different situations in this world. It doesn't matter. But whichever situation it is, still able to maintain that relationship with Krishna, that we are Krishna servants. We are Krishna servants. That realization is Bhagavata Dharma. And to live like that, Krishna is the operator, we are the machine. We are just a machine. Krishna is operating this machine through us. And to live like that as a servant or and to live in this consciousness and living like that is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma. That whether we have taken sannyasam, whether you are a grihastha, whether you are a brahmachari, it doesn't matter. What is important here is bhakti. Bhakti is more important. If there is no bhakti or experience of Krishna, then and wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, in other words, whichever way you are, whether you are a brahmachari, grihastham, sannyasi, it's all the same. It's not going to make any big difference. Therefore, Bhagavata Dharma has become a sampradayam. It has become a parampara in itself. In Bhagavata sampradayam, compared to all other sampradayams are, for example, Jnana Margam, that is Karma Margam, Yoga Margam, Patanjali Sampradayam is their Yoga Margam, Ajarya Swamiji Sampradayam is Jnana Margam, Ramanuja Sampradayam is Vishishta Dvaita Margam, and Madhvacharya Sampradayam is Dvaita Margam. They are all different sampradayams exist. Bhagavata Dharma has its own sampradayam also, Bhagavata Sampradayam. There, the difference is, in Bhagavata Sampradayam, it does not matter who we are. Man, woman, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or or Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, young boy, old person, all of these things doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Why? Bhagavata Sampradayam is like that. How do we know? Bhagavatam itself is the proof. You can see one person has become a devotee. Who? Gajendra. He became a devotee. He is in the Bhagavata Sampradaya. He follows the Bhagavata Dharma. So, whereas Gajendra will not be initiated into Jnana Margam or Yoga Margam or other Margam, would he? But Bhagavata Dharma Sampradaya, he is accepted. In Bhagavata Sampradaya, he is accepted. All other Sampradayas, for example, if you go into Patanjali's Yoga Margam, he is not allowed inside. Gajendra won't be in there. Or in the Jnana Margam, Ajarya Swamiji's Jnana Margam, he has no chance at all. Or into Yoga Margam or Karma Margam, any other Margam, Dvaidam, Vishishta Dvaidam everywhere, Gajendra has no entrance there. But Bhagavata Dharma Margam, he is allowed, he is a member there. Gajendra is a member. And that what it means is, one does not have to be so high position in his presence in this world. Even if he is a demon, he is allowed. Asura is also a member of the Bhagavata Sampradaya. Asura is also a demon. Why? Vritrasura, best example. He developed bhakti, so he is also part of our team, Bhagavata Dharma. Isn't it? And little boy Prahlada, he was also Hiranyakashipu's son. Nobody will take him otherwise. But in Bhagavata Dharma, he is the topmost personality. Isn't it? So Bhagavata Dharma allows everybody, unlike the other sampradayams. Other sampradayams are very restricted. Only one has such and such qualifications and training, only then they will accept in that. That is, the Vaidya Dharma is like that. But Bhagavata Dharma doesn't have selection there. Everybody is allowed to come in there. Everybody is allowed to come in there. So, have they got realizations? Yes, Prahlada had full realizations from the very beginning. And will they have this realization at the time of death? There's a story of Katuanga, isn't it? Katuanga was a king in the Solar dynasty. What happened was, Katuanga went to the heavenly planets to fight the war. He helped the demigods. Then they told him that you've got only very short time left to live in this world. He came here and he executed Krishna consciousness and went back to the spiritual world. He had only very short period of time. He spent here and he went back. Then there is other people also. Suppose somebody is not very rich, he is very, very, very poor. Will he allowed in the Bhagavad Dharma? Yes, Sudama. He is allowed. He is also representing that group who has no money in this world, who is totally poor. He is also a senior member in the Bhagavad Dharma. So whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are a demon, whether you are a asura or whatever it may be, or boy or a girl, what doesn't matter. Everybody, if he has developed bhakti, he is a member of the Bhagavata Dharma group. Now, if you say it is like that, then doesn't mean that all the big personalities don't have any opportunity. They also have. Ambarish was a king, wasn't he? Ambarish Maharaj was a big personality. He was a king. And also we have got the example of Rishabhadev Maharaj, Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev was a great personality, king. They are also members of the Bhagavata Dharma. So they are emperors. They are also examples for that. So only thing is, only one requirement here is, one must experience Krishna. One must experience Krishna. All these personalities, they have realized Krishna. That we have to recognize through Bhagavata process, Bhagavata Dharma, their experience. Ambarish Maharaj, as well as Maharaj Rishabhadev, Prahlada, Vritrasura, Kunti Devi, Parikshit, all of them, and Gajendra, and every one of them experienced Krishna here, right in this body, while they were here. Is it not? So therefore, they are all part of the Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma. They are all part of the Bhagavata Dharma. That is why it doesn't matter where we are born, in what conditions we are born. That is not a big thing in the spiritual life. We may have different kinds of bodies from different situations. Naratvam devatvam nagavanam rigatvam mashagadam pashutvam kedatvam bhavadu vihagatvadi jananam sada tulpadabjasmarana paramanandalahari viharasaktam jel kridayam ihakim tena vapusham. Naratvam devatvam. You may have a demigod's body, you may have a human body, you may have an animal's body, wild animal's body. Mrigat, or you may have a body of a mosquito. Mashakata, pashutvam, kidatvam, or a worm here. Bhavadu, vihagatva, adijananam. Or you may take birth as a bird in this world. In this world, as a bird. It doesn't matter. Sada, tutpadabjasmarana paramanandalahari. Always able to remember Krishna in all these circumstances. Viharasaktam chel hridaya, ihakim tena vapusha. That vihara asaktam, in all these circumstances, still able to remember Krishna and keep their Krishna consciousness, that is the most important thing. That is the most important thing. You can see in the Bhagavatam why so many different examples were given for this reason. To tell us, body is not important, what body we have got is not important. Whether we are Krishna conscious or not, that is important. Jadayu in the Ramayana is a personality, is a bird, isn't it? He became Krishna conscious. He became Krishna. Also, bird can become Krishna conscious. Dharma Vyada was a butcher. He became Krishna conscious. So, occupation is not important. Birth is not important. Krishna consciousness is more important. This is Bhagavata Dharma. This is Bhagavatam Dharma. Sada Atulpadabja Smarana Paramananda Laharim. Always absorbed in Krishna. So, in other words, if one's life, if one is constantly anusandhanam, is able to remember Krishna somehow, then, and if that love for Krishna, memory of Krishna is always there, and the peace is inside, meditation is inside, it does not matter, Krishna says, you go and take birth in any womb, in any form, whatever it may happen, there is no harm. There is no harm. Whatever family you are born, whatever varnam you are born, whichever ashramam you are born, irrespective of all that, everybody has this opportunity for cultivation of bhakti. Cultivation of bhakti. Bhakti is such a powerful thing that it's given the opportunity. So, only one requirement, what is that? Bhakti means, how will you define this bhakti? How will you define this bhakti? That is the most important thing. How to explain that? The simple explanation or simple commentary on bhakti is ananyatvam. Ananyatvam means that not being separated from Krishna at any time. That kind of love for Krishna. Continuously one is able to remember Krishna all the time. That is that bhakti what is referred to in the Bhagavatam. But what is the system of that bhakti, you have to see in Sanskrit language, these things are spoken in a little bit more complicated way. It explains that. Bhakti, if you look into the grammar, you will see there is what is known as bhakti and vibhakti. I don't know what is the English word for vibhakti. It is there in English also, that vibhakti, it is a part of the grammar. Vibhakti it is called. In this vibhakti, how this vibhakti is structured, that is interesting. A simple way we'll put it like that. That, you see, this false ego inside us, this false ego, it takes seven different forms. Have you noticed that? It takes seven different forms in this world. That is called vibhakti. Seven different forms. The movement of the false ego inside us is in seven different forms. What are they? Me, mine, in me, and for me, by me, from me, within me, all this way. In seven different forms it takes. But everything centered around this false ego. Isn't it? False ego is the center point. And that center point, all other things are rotating around that. So these seven different forms this false ego takes. False ego takes these seven different forms. First I am, I, then me, then mine, then in me, and from me, and to me. Like this it takes seven forms. In the languages also we use the same thing, isn't it? In all, when we express ourselves in the language, we express in these through seven different ways. So if you observe our own conversation in life, if you notice, you will see there, in these seven expressions coming different times, according to the situation, when we are talking about ourselves, isn't it? So, these seven things is the movement of the false ego inside. Movement of the false ego inside. Suppose you decide from tomorrow onwards, I won't use any of these seven. Suppose you make a decision. So, then you will notice that you can't say anything. That's what will happen. You can't say anything then after that. If you decide to not to use any of these seven, either one of these will definitely come in some form or the other in all our concentration, all our conversations. It will definitely come. So, these seven things, when it completely stops, that state is bhakti. That state is bhakti. In other words, false ego is completely gone from inside. It is this false ego we are fighting with, isn't it? That false ego, when it completely leaves us, then bhakti is there. So, when Krishna is saying here, that in the Bhagavad Gita also, when dharmam glani, he says, isn't it? That means when religious principles are lost, Krishna says, I will appear in this world. What is that dharmam? Dharmam, Krishna mentions there that the process for reaching Krishna, So, whenever these seven places where we have spoken about me, mine, from me, within me, to me, all these seven different movements of where, when Krishna takes that position, then it is bhakti. When Krishna takes that position. Today now when we talk, I'll say like this, or I've done this, I've done that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But when the ahankaram completely goes away from inside, we will realize that Krishna has done that, Krishna is doing this, Krishna has got it, Krishna has given this. Similarly, everything Krishna takes over, at that time it's called bhakti. It is called bhakti.